is the number one commodity in the world that you can't get back once it's gone. Time. So I will keep this brief. I'm Mudita Panmu, a time efficiency expert and a business operations strategist who is as known as the time queen. Welcome to my Get Unstuck Radio. Running a business can be very overwhelming at times, especially in the first few years when you are required to wear the hats and do all the things. You started your company because you had a vision that almost every business owner has when they begin. You wanted freedom, true freedom. So you are in the right place to help you build and grow your business that supports your lifestyle, not the other way around. Without further ado, let's get unstuck. Hey, 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 Get Unstuck Nation. So our guest today, April Roberts, she's a founder and CEO of Vixen Gathering. 16 years of entrepreneur, business consultant, high-performance life coach, and spiritual healer who helps women scale their business while maintaining their peace, joy, and love. So please welcome April with us today to Get Unstuck podcast. So hi, April. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Mudita. Thank you so much for having me.
So April, before we get started, 16 years of entrepreneurship. How you get started this entrepreneurial journey?
Well, mine's a little bit different, but I don't think so different. So what happened for me was, you know, I was a lawyer before I had a law degree. Short version is I married an Italian. We moved to Italy. My American law degree is not good in Europe. So I had a very hard time getting a job. Either I couldn't get hired as a lawyer because my law degree wasn't good. And then I tried to apply to be like a paralegal or different other jobs in the law firm. And they would tell me that I was overqualified. So basically, I became a glorified housewife with no children, which if you're a very driven person, that's very challenging, right? So I started teaching English while I was in Italy, and I actually loved that experience because I taught adults. So I taught at corporations and I taught lawyers and executives. And when you teach another language, you're constantly listening all day long. And so it gave me really a huge gratitude to teachers and what they do, right? Because it really is physically and emotionally exhausting to be engaged like that all day. But what I loved is it made me such a good listener. So when I became a financial advisor and now a coach, you know, listening is a critical skill in both of those careers. So to answer your question, how I got started was, unfortunately, I got divorced and moved home to the US. And so my life had kind of stopped, right? And I had to recreate myself. And it definitely didn't happen overnight. I spent many days going for long walks, wondering what the heck was next in my life. And I just remember one day I was tired of it. And I looked up and I was like, okay, I'm ready. Send it to me. And you know, within a week, I found a house to move into. I got a job as a lawyer that was paid me well, and I didn't have to work that much, which was important to me because I was still getting my life back together, right? And it's important for me to show up well. And I met someone else. So it was kind of like, you know, I talk about God. Some people may say the universe, the quantum field, but I was definitely getting a kick to move on, right? So I did that. So I was practicing law by day, and I had moved back home to be close to my parents during this difficult time in Mississippi. And I knew I didn't want to stay there, but my dad was a financial advisor, which is the business I went into. So I would go to he would give dinner seminars to get new clients. So I would go to them with him because I thought it was fun. And I would greet the people, sit them, set their appointments. Like, I just really went to help my dad and spend time with him. And then I started seeing how he was impacting and changing people's lives. And it was a lot different than what I was doing as a lawyer. And, you know, my life was upside down anyway. So I thought, well, let's just try this. So I went and got licensed and I became his intern for a year and a half at age 32.
Intern.
Yes. So, but you know, my dad did me a favor. I was used to making six figures as a lawyer. I mean, at age 25, I was paid $100,000, right? So I'd always been a high income earner till I went to Italy. Well, my dad said, "Hey, you can help me. I need help here, here, and here. And whatever money, whatever profit we make, I will pay you 10%." So I didn't even have a salary. I had like maybe $10,000 to my name after the divorce. Like, I didn't have a salary, but I appreciate my dad did that because I was driven to help him grow the business, right? So before I opened my own business a year and a half later, I had already learned all parts of the business because I wanted us to make money because I needed to get paid and I loved what we were doing and serving our clients. So that was in 2008. And then I moved to Houston, Texas, and opened my own office and ended up with three offices around, you know, the suburbs of Houston, a TV show, a team. And so, you know, built that business, served hundreds of clients. And then I just got called to do something different. So actually, last year, I sold that business and I moved full time into coaching, consulting, and helping people in this platform.
How did you know that you get called to do something else?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think at a certain point in life, you've had enough experiences. I call them the 2x4 moments where you know you should do something else, but you know, change is hard or you're not sure how. And so you drag your feet. And you know, my marriage being probably the biggest lesson for me, when I failed at marriage, even though my husband had an addiction problem, so probably the failure of our marriage, I'd say, was 90 something percent his fault. You still want to reflect on what you could do better in any situation, right? How I could have shown up better. But for me, I mean, my parents have been married 50 something years. Failing at marriage was a big failure. And that really drove me to make sure I didn't fail again, which is not healthy, by the way. I've healed myself from that belief because we have to fail to get better at things.
So, yeah, but from there, what inspired you to move from financial advisors firms, right, that you
Security.
opened, yeah, to coaching? What
Yeah.
inspired you to do so?
So I started getting a vision of a different future. I knew I wanted to impact people, and that's why I loved being a financial advisor. I helped, you know, individuals and couples retire, which is a major transition in life. So I actually did a lot of coaching as a financial advisor, especially money mindset coaching, helping them have an abundant mentality, which I do now because it was such a transitionary time of their life. And so I really loved that part of what I did. It was my favorite part. Right? Like empowering people to live their best lives. So before it was in retirement, now I help female entrepreneurs do that same thing while growing a business, right? Still living their best life. So I just started, what happened was I took my mom to New York City because I believe in experiences, you know, and that in the US, Christmas is a huge deal, right? And everyone buys all these gifts. And I personally find it silly. It's like, why are we buying all these gifts for each other now? Like, if I want to buy a gift for you, I'm just going to buy a gift for you when I feel lovingly compelled. So, anyway, long story short, for Christmas, I took my mom and niece to New York to an Andrea Bocelli concert because my mom and I love Andrea Bocelli. And it was in Madison Square Garden in New York City. And I've looked it up since, and it seats 22,000 plus people. And we were on the fifth row. And at one point, I just looked around at all the people as, you know, the performance. Performers were singing, and I just saw how at peace and in joy everyone was. And I just thought, wow, what if you could impact this many people to like be in peace and joy and live their best life? So it just made this impression on me. And that was 2017. 2019, it came up when I was goal setting in a mastermind I was in. And it came up again, like, oh, I want to speak at Madison Square Garden. But here's what's interesting. I never see myself on the stage. It's the view from the stage of the impact being made in the room and everyone like being loving and supporting each other. So you can imagine if 22,000 women were in a room loving and supporting each other and
Yeah.
themselves, that's powerful, right? So that's actually the compelling vision of our company.
And okay, you're talking about company. How this name coming? What is this name
We'll do
actually
that.
means? I'm so interested. Wix Gathering.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'll finish the previous story because I never answer your question. April of 2020, it came up again. I was reading a book and the author talked about speaking in Madison Square Garden. And I just remember going, really, right now? Because it was the third time, right? So I didn't want that 2x4 coming. So while I was keeping my business afloat, keeping my clients happy, keeping my team happy, I started this journey of figuring out what the next impact made. And that went from April of 2020 until March of 2023 is when I fully sold the old company. So I kind of did both for a time to like transition. But the Vixen Gathering, I can't take credit. I had someone helping me at the beginning. And actually, he came up with that name and I loved it. And the reason is a vixen is a female fox. And the female fox is the only species of animal where the woman, the female, is more attractive than the male and does the attracting, right? Most species of animals, the male is the attractor in the animal kingdom. So it's that. Plus, if you look up the characteristics of a vixen, it's pretty cool. So, and then gathering is, you know, we want to create the safe space, like where hopefully one day we're all in Madison Square Garden celebrating and loving each other. So just bringing vixens together. And the second part was, I didn't want to take myself too seriously. I'd been a financial advisor for 15 years, highly regulated, controlled in what I could say on TV. And so I was just like, we're going to say whatever we want right now. And I want the women who come on my podcast and join my groups to have their voice and say whatever they want. So, you know, it's a little bit cheeky so that we don't take ourselves too seriously and we remember to have fun as well.
Oh my gosh, that is like a new definition. Oh, that's going to be amazing. If you keep every vixen together, like 22,000 of them, that's going to be wild.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. So what is the first thing that you think that women tends to have struggling with starting a business?
So I think the number one thing that keeps anyone from making change is fear. I think also our negative thoughts and our negative emotions. And right now, worldwide, most of humanity is addicted to their negative thoughts and their negative emotions, because when we feel these things or we think these things, it creates dopamine in our body. So it is a true addiction, right? Like we are truly addicted. In fact, neurofinance is a study of the brain and how it reacts to making money, losing money, money in general, right? And Duke University did the study where when they simulated making money, the brain flooded with dopamine and your emotional reactors lit up first, then your logic lit up second. Well, when they simulated losing money, the brain lit up 3 times as much, right? So that fear of the worst is highly addictive. And so we don't even understand we're stuck in the cycle a lot of times. So I really think that's the reason, you know, people call it imposter syndrome, all kinds of things, but at the base of it is fear. And for me, fear is the opposite of love. So the more you work on your self-love, you work on showing up in love, doing things in love, you know, being loving towards other people, I think you overcome that fear.
But how can you know what you fear?
Well, you have to get quiet with yourself and listen.
Isn't that simple? You say it sounds simple.
It sounds simple, but how hard is it to get quiet with yourself and listen? I have a client who just started meditation and she's like, okay, I'm starting 3 minutes a day, and she built to 10, right? Like it's very challenging. And I have another client who just couldn't do it. And this week she finally, one day, I was like, just start with a minute, just be quiet for a minute. Right. And so she started with 4 and she's building up. But it sounds simple, but we have not been socialized, educated, or trained to act that way in most, especially in Western cultures. Right. I think Eastern cultures are better about that, finding some quiet. In our Western culture, we definitely, that's not valued.
I don't want to tell you, but every time that I practice that, I usually fell asleep.
That's okay. Maybe you need sleep. Like when I first started my spiritual practice, I would go take a nap in the middle of the day at a workshop, and like it was great. And what I've learned is I actually integrate knowledge and it shifts my energy when I sleep. So I embrace taking naps.
Oh, that's a good way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I find these days, I find meditation really relaxing because it actually helps me to transit to the sleeping mode easier. So yeah. I use it as the tool to get to a deeper sleep instead. That's how I get into sleep this day.
I love it. I don't do this anymore, but part of my nighttime ritual for going to bed used to be that I would lay on this acupressure mat. So it has the little spikes like in your back. And then I would put my legs at 90 degrees on this cube and I would do a 45-minute meditation guided and I would fall asleep on the acupressure mat. People were like, how are you sleeping on this? But because you get in such a deep state, it was like so good. So I agree that gives you really good sleep and then you wake up and go to bed and you sleep beautifully.
But not with that acupuncture mat for sure. That's scary. How did you do that?
I don't know. I really liked it. If you try it, it was the first thing I found that actually released the tension across my shoulder blades because I hold most of my tension here. And so that release now through my spiritual work and energetic work, I'm good. I'm released. I also do a lot of stretching. Like I go somewhere where they stretch me. So I actively work to keep that tension moving. But before even massages, they would be like, I'm so sorry. Can you come back? I can't get this tension out of your shoulder. So the acupressure mat really worked. I mean, not the first time, but after like a week to 2 weeks, I saw a major difference.
Oh my gosh, talking about that. So I have been stretching morning and before bed every single day. But then when I went to massager, so the massager, they told me that even though you feel flexible, but doesn't mean you have stretch enough. They're still torturing me.
Oh no.
So like, why you work so hard? I'm like, I don't even know that I have that much stiffness on my shoulder.
It's so funny. I know my whole life since I was like 20, actually in my 20s, because I was working at a large law firm then, and I get a massage. You're too young to have this much tension. Why do you work so hard? Like, did I ask you for an opinion on my lifestyle? No, I'm just here for you to relax me.
And they keep saying that you can sleep now, but no, I can't. I'm in pain. What are you doing?
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe have you tried an Epsom salt bath after you go there? Because it helps get that energy out. Don't take too many because it takes away good and bad energy. But
what is
they're
that?
Probably
say again?
Epsom, E-P-S-O-M. So it's like, yeah, it's a salt with magnesium and potassium in it you put in your bath.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, I would try.
Do that for like 10 minutes, but don't have the bath too hot. You want it like kind of lukewarm because mm-hmm. it'll relax you. And then you can do that 1 to 2 times a month. It really helps because they're probably releasing things when you're having the massage, but then it gets stuck in your energy field. So that Epsom salt will like pull it out. Like it neutralizes anything that's been pulled out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I would try that. Mm-hmm. I would find that. Mm-hmm. That's good tips. Yeah, they got a lot of money from me already. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing when you have like a like-minded women and they're like, you get to talk to them every single day, right? Chit-chatting about what we interest in and also what we are building currently. Like, that's so encouraging that when we are talking about the same thing, the same goal, and also what we are building, like marriage, love life, joy, enjoy things or something like that. How you help your clients this day? Like, what is it that they usually like needs help from you?
So I help either. So I started with my VIXA Mastermind, which was built for female entrepreneurs already doing 6 figures. But, you know, from 6 figures to 7 is, you can call it the stormy period where you're figuring things out, right? There's a lot of chaos. You don't really have a team built. You're doing a lot of the work. And so even though, you know, I had clients come in who are making $200,000-$400,000, but they don't feel great about it because they either have guilt because they feel like they don't have enough time with their kids, or they feel pulled in too many directions, or they're not taking care of themselves. And so a lot of what, you know, so we started out by helping women like that get more organized. I always start with time, energy, and confidence management. And then we go to their personal core values. Like, what fills your cup? Because you're the foundation of your home, your business, your community. So we want to, you know, as women, a lot of times we're giving, 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 but what do we need? What really makes us happy, right? And so I help my clients find their three core values and make sure that they're filling that cup all the time. And an important part of time management, because I know you're the time queen. So one thing I love to have my clients do is I have them color code joy on their calendar, and their homework is to beginning, you have to have one instance of pure joy per week on your calendar, which is something that just makes you happy. And then they build. And right now I have a client who's building a business, has a child at home, has a child that just went to college. You know, her husband travels for work. Her father is dying. Like, she really is juggling a lot. And she told me, April, you know what I do? Every day I find time for joy, and that's getting me through this. So it's a little skill that you can start, and then you build as you need it. Right?
What's the difference between joy and happiness?
Great question. I think for each person, this means something different, but I think happiness is closer to contentment, whereas joy is just like, you know, happiness is a more sustainable state of being for most people. I personally like to be joyful as much as possible, and I like to call myself a vessel of God's joy because I'm always trying to bring joy to everyone. But for me, joy is just that thing that makes you like feel like a child, right? Like, you're so happy. Like, if you can remember when you were a child playing outside or whatever you did, that you just felt completely free and in the moment. So for me, that's how I like to explain joy. Like, if something makes you giggle like a child, you're in a joyful moment, but just almost like this energy bursting out of you that you're so happy to be alive. Whereas happiness is probably a little bit calmer frequency, right? Which is more sustainable. Like, hey, I'm really happy. I have a great job, or I have a great company. I love my family. I love where I live. It's almost like more of a state of being. I don't know. I've never been asked that question, but that's what came out for me. But I think for everyone, it's different.
I just want to know your opinion. It's fine. There's nothing right or wrong.
Yeah.
You mentioned that what fill your cup first, and I have a very strong agree with you that it's so important, because it's something that you have to find your foundation before you can help others. That's so true. Mm-hmm. I would like to know your opinion about the stress management and also the confidence of the person. I find a connection on that, and it's also reflect on how they work on themselves and their business as well. How is your experience and opinion looks like on that?
Yeah, so stress management, I think the key to that is knowing yourself. And, you know, that's why we start with core values and what fills your cup, right? Because most of us have not been taught to be a student of ourselves, but we all have different biorhythms. Like, you know, you might be a morning person. I might be a night person, right? Like, I might have a burst of energy in the afternoon and you might want to take a nap in the afternoon. Like, everyone has different biorhythms and their best time they operate. We also have different ways that we digest information. Right? For me, it's really important to talk things out loud. And I have to warn my team, hey, I'm just thinking out loud. That doesn't mean I need you to go do this. But like, having the conversation with them helps me, and getting their feedback helps me to make decisions, right? Whereas someone else may want to go write a pro-con list, and that's how they make decisions. So one, there are a number of assessments you can take. You know, I've taken my Colby assessment, my print, my DISC. Like, there's a ton of different assessments to understand yourself. I've done my human design chart, which is kind of a more spiritual aspect of how I operate. You know, so you can do all these assessments and learn yourself that way. And it's interesting, Mutita, because a lot of times people fight against those assessments. They're like, no, this isn't me. It is you. You've just learned to be a different way, right? But if you operated the way that is truly you, then you are maintaining your energy better, which I think is the key component to time management. Time management is really energy management, right? A lot of times we think it's just getting stuff done. But if you combine it with energy management, you still feel good at the end of the day. Like, because, you know, and that's just the concept that most people think. So yeah, I think stress. So that's one way to know yourself. Another way is just to pay attention. A lot of times I assign my clients the homework. Hey, I want you to write down everything that aggravates you over the next week. And we're going to talk about it in our coaching session, right? And it might be my husband left a pile of laundry on the bed. It might be a client canceled on me, right? But I want every moment where you just kind of go, ugh, throughout the week, because the more we can eliminate these situations, the less stress you have in your life. Because a lot of stress comes from change and everyday stuff, right? A lot of times the big things we're preparing for. So yeah, I think knowing yourself is the key to stress management. And how you and I talked about naps, I know that a nap does wonders for me. For someone else, it might be the worst thing in the world, right? So if I need to reset and refresh, I'm going to go for a 20-minute walk, or I'm going to take a 28-minute nap. Like, I have an app that wakes me up in 28 minutes, right? But for someone else, it might be going to play with their dog, or, you know, playing with their kids. And so that's why I just think, keep a list of what aggravates you and keep a list of what makes you happy. And how do you eliminate the things that aggravate you? And how do you add more in of the things that make you happy? And then you're going to be just more balanced and you're going to show up better. So that's stress management. And I know there was another part to the question, if you can remember. I'm sorry. I forgot.
No. About the confidence. Because I find, yeah, at least for me, I noticed that when I feel like there's something wrong with me, I'm not as confident and I'm not show up at my best. So you mentioned about we need to figure out one of the core value, that is to figure out the confidence in your client self as well. So that is also important in your work. What is it that you need to help them? I think it's important to stress that.
Yeah, no, I'm huge on confidence. So what I do every meeting with my team and every meeting with a client, we start out with positive focus, which is what are our wins, right? Like, what's going well in our personal and professional life now? And so the more you can focus on what's going right, and it's a little different than gratitude. It's more celebrating, but I also believe in gratitude as well. So because here's the bottom line, you could have a day where it's 95% successful and most people are going to bed thinking about the 5% that didn't go well, right? That's the like hamster wheel in their head going on, or that's the tension in their body. And so basically you just rewire yourself to pay attention to the 95% that's going right, and that builds your confidence. I also think knowing your purpose and things, especially for women, we're very purpose-driven. So if it's like, I want to make $1 million because I want to make sure my kids have the best life, or take my family on vacation, or help my parents, like when they have a compelling purpose behind their goals, you have a lot more confidence to reach it.
I agree. Wow, that's amazing. So in case anyone that want to boost their confidence, also manage their time, and scale their business and get everything together with joy, where can they reach out to you then?
Oh, thank you for asking that, Matita. So one thing I have that I love is I have a Facebook group called Abundant Business Women, and I go live every Friday. So actually this Friday, we're talking about clarity. We talked about courage on one. Confidence is coming up. So I always have a guest coach on and we converse about our stories, our client stories, and we take questions from the people who are live with us in the chat. So it's basically live coaching every week. So that's a great community to join. It's just our Facebook group, Abundant Business Women. And then our YouTube channel, Vixen Gathering. Again, I have plenty of live coaching solo episodes I do of my podcast, The Vixen Voice. And we have lots of panel discussions. So it's almost like you get free group coaching by listening. But if you do want to join a group or join us, you can find us at vixengathering.com. And we'd love to chat with you about that.
Yeah, I will make sure that I put all the links here and also in the description and the show notes. Yeah, so everyone, it's feel amazing already to be a part of Vixen Ladies. Okay, so please don't forget to follow April over there. And yeah, just enjoy the show. And also figure out what is your core value, core confidence, and core clarity to get back on your feet again. And yeah, that seems amazing to be a part of it. I already feel excited. Thank you so much for to join Get Unstuck podcast today and having a fruitful conversation with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Matita. I hope you have a great evening.
Yeah, likewise. Have a great day.
Okay, bye everyone.
I hope this episode inspires you to get unstuck wherever you are in your journey so that you can have your business that supports your lifestyle. Get a show note at helpyougetunstuck.com today. Start implementing what you have learned. The result of your consistent effort and improvement are worth it, because you deserve the freedom to enjoy your life. Speak to you next time, and don't forget to get unstuck.